be seated. Yes. Hello. Would you indulge me just a little bit? To get us started, I've prepared for us a simple thought experiment. Traditionally, Lent is a season for Christians to develop spiritual life. Some have a plan of doing, which involves praying, fasting, or giving special works of mercy. Others focus on being, such as becoming more attentive to the Spirit of God, or becoming more reflective of fears and of failings, or perhaps becoming more bold in using God-given gifts. Now, here is a question, and I'll give you a moment to ponder. How are you preparing this Lent for the worship of God? How are you preparing this Lent for the worship of God? Okay, ready? How many of you, as you were thinking about those practices and you've identified them in your head, how many of them required you to be located within the church or the chapel? You see, as modern followers of Christ, we might take for granted that God has always been easily accessible and informally approachable. But it was right up until the time of Jesus Christ that the proper and acceptable worship of God was clearly prescribed and specifically located there at the temple in Jerusalem. Now, my time is short, so let me give you the main point of this meditation. The resurrected body of Jesus Christ is the new temple and replaces the temple that was in Jerusalem. Okay, that's a mouthful, so let me say it one more time. The resurrected body of Jesus Christ is the new temple and replaces the temple that is in Jerusalem. Now let me show you how to spot this in the text, followed by unpacking of one of many reasons why we can get so excited about this, because it's good news. So let's dive in. In John chapter 2, verse 19, Jesus says, "Destroy this temple, and I will raise it again in 3 days." What did he mean by this? Jesus was answering at two levels in parallel. Destroy this temple, the building. Destroy this temple, my body. Jesus claims after 3 days, when his body is raised in resurrection, that body replaces and takes over the role played by the temple building in Jerusalem, which we know, of course, is served as the preeminent, central, fixed point of worship for the ancient Israelites. So in other words, the resurrected temple, that is Jesus' body, becomes the new place, if you will, where worshipers meet and fellowship with God. Now, let me be straightforward. This isn't entirely obvious, and in some ways a little bit mysterious. And even when Jesus compares himself to the temple elsewhere in the Bible, for example, in Matthew 12, verse 6, the reference is subtle. There in Matthew 12, Jesus says, "I tell you, something greater than the temple is here." And by something greater, Jesus means himself. And the next time you read Matthew 12, you'll be able to see that for yourself. And now let me turn our attention to the reason we should be excited that Jesus Christ is the new temple. Well, I could tell you that this is New Testament fulfillment of Old Testament temple typology, introduced first in creation, and then we see it in the Garden of Eden, in the tabernacle, and the various forms of the temple in Jerusalem. Or I could simply tell you that God effects salvation of his people through Jesus Christ in the new temple. I could say those things. I could expound on those. But no, I'm going to focus on this, which is this. Let me close by recalling that Jesus, what Jesus says to the woman at the well, and we find this in John chapter 4. Jesus says to her, "Believe me, woman, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth." You see, true worship will no longer be tethered to Jerusalem or any other place, because true worship is in Christ, who is everywhere and at all times and worshiped in spirit and in truth. Because Jesus Christ has been raised to become the new temple, people from every place, from every walk of life, can come, worship, and fellowship with God directly through Jesus. So there's no more pilgrimages for the Jews. But what's interesting is there's no more pilgrimages for the Hindu, the Buddhist, or the Muslim. Because Christ died for our sins and was raised, all peoples can move from wherever they are in the world directly to God through Jesus Christ. And this I consider good news. Hallelujah.